Hi, I'm Philip Shepherd. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this amazing once-in-a-lifetime conference, and especially to the Meditation and Breathwork channel, which I'm proud to be sponsoring because meditation and breathwork are essential to my teachings. I'm the founder of the Embodied Present Process, or TEP, which is based on my two books and is taught worldwide. And here's one thing I believe about meditation and breathwork. You limit your experience of both if you imagine that your mind is just the thoughts in your head. Your mind permeates your every cell. Every stirring of energy within your body is an expression of it. So, if you wish to calm your mind, the most direct route is to develop the skills that enable you to feel the body's energy and ground it in the spaciousness of the present. That's what my work is about. If that appeals to you, I hope you'll check out my two presentations, one on this channel and one on the main stage. You might also be interested in a special offer exclusive to the Embodiment Conference to listen to one of my embodied meditations for yourself for free. You can find a link to the special offer in the description of this presentation or on the show notes. And now, enjoy the presentation.
Thank you so much. I'd like to say a couple of words about Galia. And Galia is passionate about learning and understanding how the mind, body, and soul are connected, and as well helping others to find this connection, which is so precious. And she has over 600 hours of yoga teacher trainings. That's very much a lot, and is certified in Ashtanga, Vinyasa yoga, yoga therapy, prenatal yoga, postnatal yoga, dhyana meditation, yin core yoga immersion, lunar element prana vinyasa, and yin yoga, and many more to add. So I'm really looking forward to the start of this session and to learn from you, Galia, about this being mindful in the mindless times. Thank you.
Thank you for that introduction, and welcome everyone. So it would be nice to see some faces here, just so that I don't feel like I'm talking. As much as I love Julia's face, I would love to see other faces too. So because this is an interactive session, so I want to see how you're feeling, how you're resonating with the session as well. And so before we begin, I'd like to bring us all to our center. And this session, like I said, is interactive. So there'll be a bit of practice. There'll be a bit of conversating back and forth. So just wherever you are, close your eyes. Just focus on your center. Bring your attention to your heart center and take a deep breath. Just allow yourself to arrive into your body, into the space you're in, to be fully present for the next hour. And as you breathe, fill up your whole body with the breath. And after your next exhale, slowly come back, come into the space. Shall be sharing my screen. Can I be made a tech host so I can share the screen?
You can share the screen anyway, but I make you co-host too.
Okay, so being mindful in a mindless time. So there are many definitions to what mindfulness is, and I would like to know your personal definition to what mindfulness is. So when you think of the word mindful, what comes to mind? What do you think your personal definition to mindfulness is? I'm not sure if I can see the chat. Okay, being in here and now. Yes. And for today's session, I just want you to know that there's no right and wrong answer. It's just we're exploring each other's answer. We're exploring different perspectives. So all answers are welcomed. Being present, being in the present moment, and acknowledge your surroundings fully. Conscious awareness in this moment, being aware of the actions you take and the consequences that may result. Yes, so thank you all. So if you think, what does mindfulness look like to you? So if you were to imagine yourself being mindful, what does that look like to you? Or what would you look like if you were being mindful? And maybe you can close your eyes and just imagine it. What would I look like? Maybe I have a specific face or an expression. Alertness. A teacher or a judge, in a state, in a calm state, and that my body and mind are in line. Calm with a slight smile, focused. Beautiful. And now take that image of yourself being mindful and then go deeper with it. What does it feel like to be mindful? So when you visualize yourself being mindful, what would it feel like to you? Maybe there's a certain emotion that comes with it. Maybe there's a certain sensation, freedom, coming home to myself, clarity, grounded, trust, enlightenment. Amazing. Love and care, timeless. So being mindful is a practice of being attentive. It's a practice of being attentive of our thoughts, our actions, our feelings, our body sensation, our surrounding environment, how we interact or react to everything that is around us. And there's a saying in Arabic, that is zibda, which translates to the butter, which is equivalent to the butter of the bread or the essence. So the essence of mindfulness is presence, is experiencing full presence in everything happening around us and within us. Making mindfulness is more like a game of connecting dots, or a game of these phone games, but you kind of put the colors together and there's always a win. And it's kind of like a puzzle. You're trying to find different ways of experiencing life in a joyful way. And the brain naturally wants to experience joy all the time. And when there's an experience that allows it to experience joy, it takes a note to recreate that same pattern to do it again mindfully. So an example of this is if you're eating a meal and you're fully experiencing the joy of eating that meal. You are looking at the colors of it, the smell, the different textures. So you're experiencing that meal fully, 100%. Whereas if you're eating a meal and you're busy doing something else, that meal you ate was kind of empty. There was no joy in it. So the more we apply mindfulness to our every action or every step, the more you're able to experience life fully. And that allows the brain to experience joy more, which the brain will take a note and think of it like a game of like, oh, okay, when I ate this meal mindfully, I experienced joy. So then this is the connecting dot that we did. And so the mind will want to do it again and again with time. There's a practice that Eckhart Tolle suggested in one of his books of approaching things with curiosity and presence and removing the label of things. So for instance, if you're eating a meal, imagine you have no idea what each item on your plate is. Like you're eating it for the very first time. And so you're experiencing the texture, the taste, all of it for the very first time. Even if you've had this meal 10,000 times, every time you eat it again, you eat it with full awareness. If you have a tree or you pass by a tree every day, remove the label of the tree and then look at it like it's the first time you look at it, like you don't know what it is, like an explorer going through earth, exploring things for the very first time. And that brings a sense of joy because it's fun to be an explorer. And so the mind takes note to this and it wants to recreate that all the time. So when we complete a task and when we complete a task in an effective way, the brain takes note to reapply that in the same way. So what makes mindfulness and being present challenging? So let's do a practice and then I'd like to hear your answers to it. So just close your eyes and just keep your eyes closed. I'm not going to give any other cue. Just keep your eyes closed. And if you feel like you want to cheat, open your eyes and look. Try to resist that urge. And just try to keep your eyes closed. And then open your eyes, take a deep breath, let go of whatever came through the mind when your eyes were closed for the past minute. And then this time, take a deep breath in. And as you exhale, close your eyes. But this time, bring awareness. First, bring awareness to your surroundings. So notice the different sounds that are in your environment. Notice the temperature of the space you're in. Maybe the texture of the clothing against your skin. And then go a little bit deeper. Notice your breath. Notice the sound of your breath. Notice your heartbeat. Notice what thoughts are coming up. Bring presence and awareness to the action of closing your eyes. Just every time your mind drifts away to old, say, way of thinking, just come back to the present moment. Come back to the experience of full awareness. And choose to be aware of different things around you or within you. Just notice how it feels. And then when you're ready, you can slowly open your eyes, coming back into the space. And if you'd like to share the differences of these two practices, when we first closed our eyes without any other cue, and then the second time when we closed our eyes with awareness and presence, what was the difference for you in these two practices? And you can share it on the chat as well. Without cues, the mind tries to scatter. Yes. So, first time my body dissolved, second time the same, but aware where I was. My mind wandered more the first time. Yes, definitely. So what mindfulness does, it gives us direction. It allows us to consciously choose where our focus is rather than the focus being scattered, which will take us to the next discussion is what makes being mindful and practicing mindfulness challenging. So if I were to ask you, what challenges you from being mindful? What limits you from being fully aware and present to every moment, every second, every day? I will give my answer to what challenges me. Someone said here, phone and computer, definitely phone for sure. Multitasking, regular stress, thoughts about the future, anxious mind, racing thoughts, external distractions, monkey mind, the speedy lifestyle we live in. Yes, for sure, there are so many challenges. So here are the main, or one of the most, not one of the most common challenges that we face. So first and most important one is multitasking. And I would say multitasking is something I personally struggle with a lot, but through my practice of mindfulness, I try to minimize how much I multitask. And sometimes I feel like we take pride with the ability to multitask when in fact it's actually kind of the nemesis of mindfulness. So if you think of multitasking, what happens in the brain is, imagine you start doing the chores around the house, and then you start by folding the laundry, and then halfway through you start to dust the tables, halfway through you go to wash the dishes, and then halfway through you go back to folding, and then you forget to continue the dusting, and then you go back to the dishes, and so you're basically jumping from one task to another without efficiently finishing one. And without fully focusing on one, because while you're doing one, in the back of your head, you're thinking, I need to do the other two or three or so on. And that's basically what goes on through our heads when we multitask. And technically, the brain cannot do two things at the same time. The brain is actually jumping from one to another at a speed that is fast enough that we don't recognize or are able to see, but it actually is jumping from one to another quickly. But that takes a lot of energy when it jumps from one to the other. Another example is every day we imagine we have like a specific limit or like a limit of energy we get. It's kind of like the phone. When you go to sleep and you plug the phone and you charge it up to 100%, the next morning when you wake up, you start using the phone, you open your messages, your WhatsApp, your emails, da, 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 and you have all these different apps in the background. And so your battery phone will kind of die quickly throughout the day. Whereas if you assign, let's say I will open my WhatsApp for this amount of time and then this amount of time for this and that, so the battery will last much longer. And the same goes for us throughout the day. When you are kind of picking, I will finish this fully and then I'll go to this and then I'll go to that and so on, you are consciously choosing what consumes your energy rather than your energy just being scattered all around the day, and then comes the end of the day and you feel depleted and you don't even know where it went to and you barely manage to complete any task fully or efficiently. Scattered, which also is linked to scattered priority. Like I said, sometimes we have certain things we want to do in the beginning of the day, and then we kind of jump through them throughout the day without being fully focused and aware of, okay, I will dedicate this amount of time for this in my day, and then I'll go to this. So for instance, what would really help is prioritizing tasks or goals makes it easier to complete because it gives you clarity and direction of your day. So if I wake up today, I know I need to finish 1, 2, 3, 4, but 1, 2, 3, 4, they come in 1, 2, 3, 4. I need to finish 1 before 2, before 3. So I write it down so that I can, when I'm doing one, I'm fully engaged in one, and I know I wrote down the rest of what I need to finish so that I'm not jumping between them. Lack of self-discipline. Self-discipline, from my humble experience, I think is very important when it comes to anything. You need self-discipline for growth. You need self-discipline for showing up for yourself, your health, to gain. It's kind of like when you start working out, and if you're a person who doesn't at first, it's difficult, you're resisting, you don't like it, but then you continue to show up for yourself. You continue to stick to your decision of being mindful, and then you start to gain a bit more self-control, because sometimes as we grow, we develop certain patterns, certain behavior that most of the time we're not aware of. So we need discipline to kind of pull out of these kind of challenging or patterns that are no longer serving us. And everything is like a muscle. The more you practice mindfulness, the more you strengthen the ability to be mindful. The more you practice compassion, the more you become compassionate. The more you practice love, the more you become loving. And just like the more you work out your body, the more you become fit, so does everything else in our life. And eventually with time, it becomes effortless. But it's just in the beginning, you have to find the discipline to take that first step. Old beliefs. So like I said, is we gain a few habits, we gain patterns, and then we just identify ourselves with these beliefs. And I hear this a lot. Sometimes some people will say, oh, I can never meditate. I can never be on time. It's so hard for me to sit still. And this is part of a belief that we put on ourselves that we cannot change, but we are always changing every day. And it's a matter of choice of, do I want to keep going with this pattern, or do I want to change and start a new belief? Attachment to these old beliefs, because when you are going to change, you're changing something that has been rooted in you sometimes deeply. And so you're stepping into the field of the unknown. And so for most of us, that field of the unknown is scary because we get comfortable with what we've attached ourselves with. And there's a saying, better the devil you know than the devil you don't. But what if on the other side, there is no devil? There's actually more clarity, there's more peace, there's more centering. But sometimes we get so comfortable in the situation we're in that we attach ourselves to it and don't want to move forward from there. And then living in the past or the future. So when we're not mindful, when we're not present, we're not living this current moment. We're either dwelling or thinking or replaying scenarios from the past, or we're overthinking, overplanning, imagining a future scenario that, whether it's in the past or in the future, how you spend your present moment, it's either wasted in the past or the future. So therefore your current moment is not being lived fully. And the past and the future are things that we cannot fully change. And it's kind of, I don't like to say a waste of time, but it kind of is, because you're not experiencing the present moment and you're just in the past and the future, and the past is already gone. And the future, you can never really fully predict. And your future self will get to that future when it gets to it. And whatever we imagine in our heads most of the time does not happen. So that's one of the main things that challenges us from being in the present. And then lack of curiosity. Sometimes we take things for granted. we kind of are very used to so much things around us. So then we're like, oh, okay, it's a tree. But like I said, explore Earth like an explorer. Like, it's amazing how now we're all connected through this internet, through this laptop that has these like things that I can't see that connects us all together. How this PowerPoint works, how I'm writing, how the tree grows, how the straws, like, just bring curiosity to everything, because that kind of ignites the child within you, and it brings more questions. I think, I assume, but I speak for myself as well sometimes, is that the more I grow, the more I feel like, okay, I know a few things. But then when I bring more curiosity to things, it gives me a chance and opportunity to look up things and learn new things. And there's always a sense of playfulness. There's always a sense of wonder and growth when you bring curiosity into the way you think. So what is so important to being mindful? And, you know, we always hear about being mindful, but I would like to know, what brought you here? Why are you curious about being mindful? And you can write it in the chat. Break away from automated reactions and making us mindless. Oh, because I feel like the speed of life is making us mindless, definitely. Because it sounds easy, why you think about it, but applying it sometimes can be confusing. Yes. Full self integration, to become more self-aware, to fully experience life, a better quality of life, to be better and kinder. Yes, definitely. All of those and many more. So here are some of the main benefits of being mindful. It's better brain functioning. Reduces stress because you're a lot more focused. You're setting your intention to how you're spending your day. Increased productivity, improved attention and focus, increased clarity in thinking and perception because there's less cloud, there's less chatter in your mind, lowered an anxiety level. And I want to take a moment to speak about briefly about an anxiety. And what usually happens with an anxiety is that either the body starts the reaction or the symptom of an anxiety, or the mind starts it. And it doesn't matter which one starts it. It's kind of like the egg and the chicken. One will begin and the other will kind of react to it. And so let's say, for example, the body, the heart starts to race, the arm starts to sweat. And so the mind reacts to it and, oh, what's going on down there? Something's going on, I need to panic. And then the mind starts to panic and the body is like, oh, what's going on up there? Something is not okay, I need to react to it. And so it becomes this vicious cycle of one reacting to the other, and then that's when you fall deep into an anxiety. But when you practice awareness and mindfulness, you would be able, with time and practice, you would be able to feel the minute the symptoms of your anxiety rising up. And then you'd be able to take action immediately on the spot, such as, okay, I feel like my heart is racing. I need to take a deep breath to kind of calm it down. My mind is feeling a bit scattered. Maybe I need to just go out for a bit of fresh air. And that's really one of the best things that comes from mindfulness, is you become you're in a constant state of having a conversation with your body and how your body's reacting to things, rather than just diving deep into what's happening without noticing what started it in the first place. Experience of being calm and internally still, and better memory recollection. Now, this is a very kind of, for me, I feel like it's a very important point of what is the connection between memory and mindfulness. And I think because of this fast-paced life that we're living and this continuous stress, we are becoming more forgetful and it's become kind of the norm. So when you ask someone, let's say your boss tells you, please write this email, and then you tell him or her, okay, I'll do it tomorrow, in the middle of you doing something else, but then comes tomorrow and you forget it. And why? Why does that happen? Why does that happen? Why do we forget the things we say we're gonna do, or why do we forget certain scenarios or situations? In the example that I just gave of I'll do it tomorrow, when I gave that promise, was I actually listening to myself saying those words? Was I actually listening to the request in the first place? Or was I just kind of, okay, I'll do it tomorrow, but then it didn't really stick because there was no presence in what I just said. So the connection between memory and mindfulness, the more the senses are stimulated in an activity, the more you are fully engaged and present. And the more you are fully engaged and present, the more likely things will be stored and easily to recall. So when we have all our senses in the action we're doing, the more it will be stored. And that applies for challenging events or even good events. So think of a traumatic experience. The reason why we remember them so clearly is because it pulls all our senses, it pulls the attention of all our senses to be with it. And that's why we remember it clearly. And then the same goes for other experiences. So think about when you take a trip to a new city and it's a new experience, you're fully engaged, all your senses are in it. Like the smell of fresh coffee allows you to enjoy the taste of it, the warmth of it, the smell of fresh baked good, same thing. When you experience a new texture that is like, it draws all the other senses with it, it brings full attention, it brings full presence. And that is something that we can do consciously every day in our every action. We don't have to wait for something new or for a new experience to draw our attention, but I can consciously choose to have my senses in every action I do. And we often suffer from memory loss or dementia at an early age, because we lack the ability to store information. And we lack the ability to store information because we're in a constant state of multitasking, of scattered priority, of stress, of so much cloud and thoughts in our mind. And therefore the brain ends up not storing anything because it's just too much. What is it gonna store? Is it gonna store what's going in your mind, or is it gonna store what's happening here? So the brain is like, always trying to save, trying to conserve energy. It's trying to keep what is important and then kind of discard what is not, because we're stimulated all the time. And going back to that phone example, when you use a lot of the phone, it's just, it ends up taking the whole battery. And the same thing goes for us. The more our senses are used, but not with awareness, it just is depleting a lot of energy. It also goes back to the other example of living in the past and the future, because if the present moment is not lived, then there's nothing to store. Because if in the present moment I am living in my past that already has been stored, or if in the present moment I am living in the future that I don't even know what will happen then what is to store right now in my present moment? There's nothing worth storing. And that's one of the main reasons why we end up losing struggle with memory recollection. And every person's strongest sense is different. Some people are more visual, some people are more audible, some people are more sensual. And if you know what is your strongest sense, then try to stimulate your other senses. Try to involve the other senses that are not as strong as your strongest sense in every action that you do. And I would like to do a little practice to kind of explore the senses. or each one's strongest sense. So if I ask you to close your eyes, and then again, find your center, deep breath, and then think of a park, either a park you know or a park of your imagination. And what is the first thing that comes to mind? Is it the different trees around the park? Is it the smell of the park? Or the different texture that you might touch in the park? So just what is the first thing that came to mind when I said the park? And that usually is your strongest sense. And sometimes that changes with the season, that changes with age. So always try to notice what is your strongest sense. And then try to stimulate the other senses as well. So stay with the park and try to think of the other elements of the park. So we have here someone saying happiness. So this is a more of a sensual feeling that the park had brought to you. So think about all the different colors that would exist in the park. Think about all the different sounds that would exist in a park. We have the smell of nature, so the smell is the strongest sense. So then think about the other elements that come with the park. The green grass, the rustles of the leaves. So everyone's different. Everyone's different with their strongest sense. We're different, but we're the same, and that's the beauty. So what are different ways to embody mindfulness? And here are little tools that I hope to give you. I hope to plant seeds for you to start this mindfulness practice. So the first and far most important is the breath. The breath is always there with you from the moment you are born till the last moment you are alive on this earth. There's magic, there's medicine in the breath. The breath is always communicating to us of what's going on internally. When we're stressed, the breath is shallow. When we're happy, the breath is deep. And most of the time, we take shallow breath. There's barely any movement in the chest. There's barely any movement in the abdomen. And so try to start a practice where you start your day with one full breath. And then maybe throughout the day, you take a few deep breaths as well. In the middle of the meeting that usually agitates you, take a deep breath. In the middle of a traffic light, it usually kind of makes you impatient, take a deep breath. At the end of the day, take a deep breath. The breath has so much power, has so much intelligence that we kind of forget that it exists. We kind of forget that we're breathing. And throughout my teaching, I noticed that a lot of people are not really aware of how to breathe fully. And because it's always there, we forget that it's there to support us. And so I'd like to give you a small practice that you can do anytime, any place. And it always feels good to connect to the breath. And when you're ready, just sit up tall, close your eyes. And just take a deep breath in and a full breath out. And just notice the flow of the breath, the movement of the chest as you breathe. And see which part of your chest feels a bit tight or congested and try to breathe into it. And then consciously try to slow down the breath. Try to make the inhale long And the exhale is long. And just notice whenever you drift away to come back to the breath. And sometimes it helps to add counting. So you inhale for three counts and exhale for three counts. And you can go up higher than three, maybe up to four or five or six. However, whatever number you're comfortable with. And just stay with the breath. Control the breath mindfully. Full breath in and full breath out. And now let's add more senses into the action of breathing. So we're going to use the hand like a pencil, and it's like you're drawing a circle or an oval shape on your chest. And this is just to guide the breath. So when you inhale, the hand goes up. When you exhale, the hand goes down. And you want to make sure that the hand follows the breath and not the breath following the hand. So depending on the speed of your breath, that's the speed that your hand is moving. And depending on the length of your breath, that's how long your oval shape is. And so just notice the breath as you inhale, moving up. And as you exhale, moving down. And see how much that brings more awareness, brings more presence to the action of breathing when you add more senses. So you feel the speed of your breath using your hand. Inhale, moving up. Exhale, moving down. And if your eyes are open, then soften the gaze so that you can go inward with your focus. Or close your eyes and try to slow down the breath. And your hand will tell you how fast you're breathing and how long you're breathing. And just keep going each round of breath, going a bit slower and longer. Just notice how you feel with the process of breathing. See if it's shifted your mood and your awareness just by breathing mindfully for 1 minute. And then wherever you are in the breath, just take one more breath. And then you exhale fully. Then you can release the hand. And when you're ready, come back into the space. And if you'd like to share how that experience was to you, it's always nice to hear how it felt. But that was just 1 minute of conscious breathing. So imagine if you do 3 minutes every morning, you could put a timer on your phone, just 3 minutes of breathing. At the end of the day, 3 minutes of breathing, some time throughout the day, 1 minute of breathing. It felt nice to add the sense of touch to my meditation. It helped me be more mindful of the breathing. Yes. So the more we add our senses into our actions, the more we are enjoying it, the more we are in it. And then the brain, like I said in the beginning, takes notes that, okay, so 1 + 1 = joy. I want to do more of that. In the beginning, I was thinking a lot. Later on, I became more clear. Hand helps to even out the inhale and the exhale. Yes, definitely. Soothing, focused, and calming. And that's literally timed 1 minute of breathing. So imagine if you do that every day, if you do it for 3 minutes, for 5 minutes, it doesn't take much of your time to find that center. Okay. All right, so another way to be mindful is stimulating the beginner's mind. So one way to practice it, and it's a really fun way to practice this, is we all have a dominant side. So try to use your non-dominant side, because your dominant side, for instance, for me, my right hand is my dominant side. And my dominant side, I've been using it for as long as I've been alive. So it's the same age as my age. But my non-dominant side, I've used it a lot less. So my non-dominant side might be 3 or 10 years old, if not less. So when I use my non-dominant side, I'm stimulating the beginner's mind, because it's like the part of me that hasn't used this much. So it's exploring it for the first time. It's learning how to adapt, and it's learning how to use it the same way as a child would learn how to use their mind. So you can try to do your regular task as brushing your teeth, tying up your hair, holding things. Sometimes I carry things more with my dominant hand than my non-dominant hand, writing. And you think it's easy, but it's actually pretty challenging to use your non-dominant hand for a simple task. And it feels really funny and ridiculous, but it's okay to laugh at ourselves. It's playful. So just try to explore new things. You know, if you have a route that you go to work every day, explore a new route. Open up new path, neurons in the brain. And sensory awareness, like we said, try to use all the senses as much as you can in every action you do, even in little simple tasks. Try to have all your senses in every task. Journaling. Journaling is magical. Journaling has truly been an amazing tool for me, and I know for a lot of people. Whether you're journaling to release or write down your thoughts, kind of if there's scattered thoughts, write them down. It helps you to see the perspective that's going in your head, because when it's in your head as thoughts, it's kind of like clouds scattered around. But when you start to write them down, you're organizing them, you're arranging them. There's magic in manifesting, writing down what you'd like to manifest, or just for the sake of writing. It's amazing. You are able to see clearly what's going on in your head. And so you become more mindful of what is the pattern that's in my head. Then I can see it and I can reflect on it. So if, for instance, you had a rough day and then you just start writing it down, when you start to write it down, you realize that sometimes one small thought drags with it a bubble of 10 other thoughts. And that one small thought that started it is actually not as bad as your mind has made it to be. In the beginning of the quarantine back in March, I decided to do this experiment. And it's an experiment that my dear friend had created in her master's program, which is called 100 Whole Days. So it's called 100 Whole Days because it's literally for 100 days, but also in each day, you're like holistically using the day. And so what this experience was, or what this, I would call it an experience was, is every day she had a template that was ready. I would use it on my phone. I would write my first thought of the day. So when I wake up, what is the first thought that comes up? And usually it's a great thought. It's like, oh yeah, I can't wait to start the day. Or, oh, maybe I'm feeling a bit tired or whatever. Whatever my first thought of the day, I write it down. And then throughout the day, I have 5 IQs to fulfill, which is the physical IQ, the mental IQ, the emotional IQ, moral, and spiritual. So each one of these IQ, I would do one task to fulfill them. And then at the end of the day, I would write my observation of the day. It was nice to do it for 100 days because it allowed me to explore different things. It made me more aware of which of these IQ am I filling up more, and which of these IQ is kind of missing into my life that I need to add more of, because you need to have balance in your life. So just writing it down allowed me to see. And then the observation of the day was nice, because some days my day would end up on a low note. But when I write my observation of the day, it allowed me to see that actually my day wasn't so bad. Maybe just right now in the last 2 hours, I'm feeling low. But when I'm writing down how my day went, I actually had a bit of highlight. So it helped me see that whatever is going through my mind at this moment is not my mood of the entire day. So journaling really is amazing. You journal on your phone, journal on a piece of paper, wherever, because it really is helpful. Be curious about everything. Be curious about how things work, how your mind work, how your body function, how you're reacting to things. The more you invite curiosity into your life, the more you allow new answers and things to kind of come up for you, and you open up doors to you. And then finally, making reminders. Make reminders all around you, because to start something new, I can easily say, I have the intention to be mindful from today. But then because of my old patterns and my old behavior and my beliefs, my attachment, it becomes hard for me to start this initiative. But when I have reminders such as, I'll put sticky notes in front of my bathroom mirror saying I am mindful, or I breathe consciously, or whatever it is that you want to have it as a reminder. You can have the background of your phone as a reminder. You can have an alarm that goes once a day that reminds you to breathe. Or you can even have mental reminders. For instance, every traffic light you see, that traffic light is your reminder to take a deep breath. So just having all these different reminders around you will help you stay in that path and begin that practice. Because like I said, mindfulness takes effort in the beginning, but then eventually with time, it will happen. It will become more easier, but there needs to be a reminder, because it's not something that's sensible. It's something that it's a mental work. And So mindfulness isn't difficult. We just need to remember to do it with all these different reminders. So I hope that I gave you some tools, some tips. I've planted a seed that will help you become more mindful into your life. And the person who wrote this quote, Sharon, has an amazing book called Real Change. I would highly recommend it. And I hope you enjoyed this session. And if you have any questions, please write them down.
Thank you so much, Galia. That was indeed very rich, full of practical examples and information. There is one question from the audience regarding the 100 holiday template. If you have a link to it, if there is any public information on it.
I'm not sure. I did have a link, but I need to look it up.
Right, then I'll give you a moment to look up for the link. And before we end, I'd like to remind you that this session will be available for replay for another 48 hours. And in order to continue with this rich learning path, you can upgrade to own the conference. And today is the last day of the conference, so it still comes with a 50% discount, and it will be twice the price after the end of the conference. And you also can donate to the conference as a gratitude for all the immersive organization of this event with 1,000 speakers. And that will take you about 3 years if you'd be watching one session a day. So having this opportunity to say thank you, and as well, you can donate to the charity organizations that the Embodiment Conference cooperates with. So take a look at the links that are posted into chat or will be posted shortly. I would also like you to remind that the next session on this channel is Each Breath Could Be Your Last, Contemplating Death to Liberate Your Life by Martin Iwart. So do join it, and you can also join the Facebook group of the conference and the Facebook group of the channel. All links are in the chat. And Galia, the word to you, if you have any info.
There is one question here that I'd like to answer is, can mindfulness make you stop planning? No, because you would dedicate specific time just for planning. And so that planning time is fully dedicated to just planning, and then you're not scattered between other things. So you just put time to plan and then leave that. Once you're done planning, you leave it. You kind of switch off that part of your brain.
Thank you for answering this. And I would also ask you the last question. What is your top tip of staying embodied?
I would say start your day with taking one deep breath while mentally singing the ABC. So you can go fast while you sing, you can go slow depending on the length of your breath, but it's joyful, it's playful, and it's mindful.
Sounds indeed like game and fun. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you so much, Galia. Thank you, the audience. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.